why Perugia? That's what, that was like my big thing when I was watching it. I was like, why not Venice? Why not Tuscany?
So there's a sister city association with Perugia in Seattle. So the reason why Perugia was such a nice place to do that is because they had developed between the UW and the Università per Stranieri a program that was like a friendship program. So people from, it just made it very easy to like, they made it easy for you to sign up for classes, mm-hmm. basically. And that's why. A small town in the middle of Italy. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize there was another university there. I thought it was supposed to be like a small town vibe. Mm-hmm. And I felt like a small town vibe was going to be better for me to learn the language because nice. I figured, I've been to places like Tokyo or Berlin, I know that when you're there, a lot of people speak English. And they want to practice English on you. And it's like, I'm not here. I didn't
and
cross
my English
the world.
Is, my English is better than your German. So can we just get this?
Yeah. Right. I need to like find the bathroom.
I watch 90210.
Wo ist die Badezimmer? Or wo ist das Badezimmer? I don't want to like work to like find out when I need to pee. And that was not like in Italy. I was going for a small town where there weren't going to be many tourists because I genuinely wanted to just like immerse myself in Italian people. And that was out of a genuine love for Italian people.
So pathogen avoidance, circling back because I forgot. So when we, fear of a robot or a scarecrow or a doll, I talked about this a little bit with Robert Greene.
Like dolls do creep me out.
Creep, but clowns. Is when something looks human but doesn't behave like a human.
And I think the reason why dolls freak me out even more is because they're children.
Ooh.
And like I'm always
in
drawn.
In dry makeup. In dress.
In like weird drag makeup.
Yeah,
just like, I can't take care of you.
And yeah, and like there's like your eyelashes. Are those from, what are the eyelashes made of?
Yeah.
I just want to know what animal died for this creepy fucking doll. but pathogen avoidance, if we see something that looks human but doesn't move like a human, the dissonance stresses us out to stop us from fucking corpses, which have diseases, guys. What were you guys saying? What were you saying?
So that the fear of holes and like when people see close-ups of human skin, they can be really freaked out by all the pores. And we were hypothesizing the other day.
Trypophobia?
It's a I think that's it, yeah. A fear of like, at the normal human scale of perception, you don't see things with many holes that way unless you have like gaping wounds. Or sores or festering, you know, like, so it's a disease avoidance thing.
Leprosy,
right?
Yeah, pathogen avoidance for
stay
sure.
Away.
Ooh. Yeah, they show
a
honeycomb.
The
yeah, and I love popping zits, which I've talked about.
I also love popping zits.
She does it without consent, though.
Yeah, no.
I have learned to not
I do it
zit rape
exes.
You.
I do it with exes. I'm like, can I just get that? Like, I cannot handle it. So I have a...
something that goes back to, like, grooming.
Yeah. Ejecting bacteria from the body, et cetera, et cetera. Interesting that I wrote down... Okay, so why is it that... When Ted Bundy tapes came out, I listened to them, and Ted Bundy does a movie, and we watch it. Mm-hmm. And why isn't Ted Bundy canceled? Like, why do actual convicted murderers get to have 50 shows and be celebrities, and comedians don't get to tell rape jokes? Yeah, I know that's a big Pandora's box, but it's like, you have to have done it
to speak knowledgeably about it.
Do you know
it?
What I mean? I listened to the Ted Bundy tapes on Netflix. I don't know who got that money, but...
Joe Berlinger.
But can I... Who's that?
He's the director.
Oh, copy that. Am I... I can't listen to R. Kelly. I can't listen to... Michael Jackson, I can't watch Kevin Spacey movies, but I can watch the Ted Bundy tapes and Mindhunter.
I think that's because we want to understand extremes. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're drawn.
Black and white.
Yeah, we're drawn to black and white. And I think it also kind of goes back. I mean, at least from a woman's perspective, you're going, I could have loved this man.
Mm-hmm.
And,
ooh, and Ted Bundy had a wife that he did not kill.
Right. Absolutely.
And I'm such a, like...
It's the wolf in sheep's clothing thing. People are really drawn to and terrified of the idea that the person who looks really pleasant and really nice and kind, the Ted Bundy or the Amanda Knox, is
especially
it could be anyone, you know? And they are sometimes they're handsome.
Yep.
Sometimes they yep.
And it also like isn't like you don't have this sort of satisfying like you know he grew up in a bad home and he was like you know
it's always the mom's fault.
Right.
Always the mom put painting.
There's a whole show about like psychopaths moms or something like that.
It's always the mom's fault. She just didn't do anything right. It's not
what about their moms?
So has there been a day where you like forgot you were Amanda Knox for the day? Like one day where you just like got through the day, maybe your wedding day or something, where you were just like.
No, I did not get to do that on my wedding day because they were paparazzi that were.
TMZ.
Yeah, like the day before my wedding, we got a, like the guy in the office at like the, no, like the guy who owned the Elks Lodge where we we were at, like called me in and he was like, oh my God, I hope I didn't do anything wrong. And I was like, what happened? And he was like, well, this TMZ called and they asked if your wedding was happening. And I said, it's a private event. And like he was, and bless him, I didn't like. I thought that we had done a good enough job to like not let them figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they figured out that it was an Elks Lodge of all places.
It sounded space theme wedding.
Yeah.
That's incorrect though.
It's not even space theme. They were just like postulating based on what people's
regardless,
costumes
were. It's good to see Amanda and Chris came full circle with their love for the otherworldly. They got engaged with a full blown ET recreation.
I love it how people were like making assumptions about what it was based on like their what they saw through their long distance lenses and no context whatsoever. It was not
the one time convicted felon. It's just like what?
Yeah, you mean the acquitted
person. Yeah,
but these are words. Yeah. Like words, fucking like boom, yep, adrenaline. Yeah, adrenaline turns into dopamine, and they know that.
Yeah, once convicted is the safe way, like the I can't sue you way of saying you called me convicted when I was acquitted.
Have you ever sued anyone?
I have attempted, I've looked into suing people and consistently across the board, it's never ever worth the amount of money that I would have to put into fighting it. And it would take years and it would honestly just give them more publicity.
Mm-hmm.
I as a public figure, don't have the same protections as a private person.
Mm-hmm.
And people can make what they want of me and my story constantly without having to consult me.
Mm-hmm.
So lots and lots of people are making money off of the worst experience of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no say in it.
And then when you have a career that isn't even, you know, when you just do a podcast that's not about that, you're criticized for somehow having a job.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's also, but I get criticized. It's like that. It also, now that you're like moving into the things that you have earned and deserve to be doing and should be doing, you're gonna get shit. Forget Italy. Do you know what I'm saying? Everyone that has a podcast and a public figure gets shit. So it's, you're also, a lot of it is not cumulative. A lot of it is, it's just like, it's like in the roast. It's like, when we have nothing to get you on, we're going to go for your looks. Mm. When we have nothing to get you on, it's like the best thing that can happen to you at a Comedy Central roast, which is the public flogging that we sign up for.
Yeah.
The Schadenfreude Festival, the, you know, cutting, just public humiliation, the Roman Colosseum. Like,
it's kinky.
If it's so kinky and you see us there crying and sort of like trying to get through it and I'm just trying to pay my rent and like, that hurts.
Is it like the purge? Do you guys just do the purge? Is this comedian purge? You get it out. It's good for you.
It's really good for you, podcast. So like, no, we do it because we get paid.
Oh. It's hard. You know what? That's great.
It's our job.
Good on you.
And but the Friars Club roasts were for free. And truly, this is how we show love to each other. When you grow up in a home where people, this is why I loved Roseanne. And why when I watched Roseanne, I was like, holy shit, that's how my family talks to each other.
Mm.
That's
just everyone, like some, everyone's
barb,
scared.
Barb,
like,
barb, self-aware. Like, this is why I love Chris being like, oh, really? Because everything's about you. Like, I love that. That's how we talk to each other.
But he literally does that because he knows that you like it.
And he,
he's also like,
But also, you know, like you're like it's a,
and maybe it's a catharsis for you, you because you know equals. I wouldn't like that.
It makes me think we're equals, and it makes me think you don't think I'm weak and fragile because I'm sick of people thinking I'm fucking fragile because I'm a woman. It's enough. It's fucking enough. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't. It's not tracking for me. It's not true. This narrative is not true. And it's not serving anyone. Mm-hmm. So, like, when you fucking come for me, oh, and I wanted to talk to you about this. Emily sent me there was this female football player, first female football player.
Okay.
On her.
Women should be able to get traumatic brain injuries, too.
Yes! Yeah! I mean, which is like, don't get me started. I know exactly what it is. So this woman is named the Lost Vet.
The Lost Vet. What's like it? Like sexy, vet from the show? Or
I
like...
know, this is weird. Sarah Fuller, hey girl. First woman to play for a Power 5 college football team last weekend is set to continue her career with Vanderbilt. The 21-year-old took on kickoff duties for the Commodores last week after several members of the team were ruled out due to COVID-19 protocols.
Okay.
And then...
So she's the kicker. She's the designated kicker?
Okay. Is that right? Sports is not where I shine. The comments. Hope she gets plowed.
Huh.
Publicity stunt. She's going to get slaughtered on a fire play. They couldn't have grabbed one from the guys' team. Is it bad that I want her to get rocked? I mean, it's only fair.
Yeah, rocked meaning like tackled? Like, what does that mean?
Someone better tackle the fuck out of her, make her realize it's 2020. I hope she gets plowed. I mean, that's all.
I mean, do they say that about all the designated kickers? Because that's not the job of the
designated
kickers.
I don't think kickers even get tackled.
No, they just go on the field to kick the ball and then they leave the field. They're not built to do what a linebacker, like, and again, like, that's also ridiculous to say because, like, the person, I don't know much about football because I don't play sports I'm not a sports person, but I know that some people are bigger because that's their job. They're supposed to, like, hold people back. Some people are smaller and they run fast and that's their job. And some people can kick a ball.
Yeah.
And, like, it's not, you know, for a lot of the things that happen in football, it has to be a guy because, like, that you're just the way that the game is built is because that's how your body is built. But, like, the kicker is not, it doesn't, if you can kick the damn ball, like, you can kick the damn ball.
Well, a bunch of people. So, cucking, I didn't fully understand. Cause,
are you talking about the kinky thing?
Well, no, people keep saying, like, he's a cuck. And I sometimes pretend to know what it is because I don't want to be embarrassed. And I'm like, cuck. Like, it feels like a political thing and, like, political just it feels like sports to me. And I just.
It is sports.
Yeah. To me, it feels like 49ers versus, I almost said the Redskins, the Dolphins.
I think a cuck is someone who allows himself to be dominated by a woman. Is that what that means?
But there's an amazing, I think it was.
I mean, it derives from cuckold, right?
Right.
Which is women getting fucked in the town, publicly, in the town square.
Just
a man
who's in Italian, they say. Right. So, yeah, when a woman is unfaithful to her man, like, the husband is the one who's the cuckold because he is, you know, the woman's getting hers behind the scenes when she should be getting it from her husband. So it's a humiliating
thing. I'm sure she's having multiple orgasms.
This goes back to the epistemic gap on
exactly.
pregnancy. Like, if you have an animal, the human, in which one of them knows that it's their child and the other one just has to hope, and the other one is bigger and stronger, they're going to lock that shit down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you see all across human cultures is the women are locked down in various ways.
But I think we like to watch women be humiliated. We have a way.
Well, it's a way of control them.
Mm-hmm. But that's about humiliating the man. That's about you didn't lock your woman down good enough.
Yeah.
That's why you're now a cuck.
Interesting.
Yes.
Because you couldn't fuck your woman well enough.
Your dick's not big enough.
Well, I think it's more so the shame that men put on other men because how are you going to protect your lineage if you don't have control of that?
Or like people who say rude things to me on Instagram, like, oh, I bet you are pegging your cuck husband. So like in our relationship, the cuck is supposed to, is the one who takes on the feminine submissive role.
Yeah, modern,
that means you fucking the butt with a
doesn't mean the same thing as cuckold. The word, the etymology comes from that.
Yeah.
The modern cuck is more like
a submissive.
You're a beta chump.
Yeah.
Right? You're not an alpha is kind of what it's synonymous with.
Yeah. Is it a Chad? Is a Chad supposed to be the opposite of a cuck? What is it? What's the opposite of a cuck? An alpha, whatever. What's a Chad? Is that a thing?
I don't know what a Chad is.
Is that like, don't incels describe Chads as the one who's actually having sex? I don't know.
I don't know.
You guys don't know anything about anything, let's be honest.
I really don't.
Let's be honest. I admit it. I'm shocked. Yeah, so there's a cuck, as you might expect, comes from the word cuckold, an insulting word for a man whose wife is cheating on him. The Oxford English Dictionary places its first attested use in the mid-13th century Middle English poem. Okay, I don't do poems.
And the idea is that, like, if a woman can get away with cuckolding her husband, it's because he's a submissive and hasn't asserted dominance over his woman, which is why, like, back in the day, they were like, oh, your way of informing your wife that you love her is beating her because you care enough about her to assert your dominance over her.
But also it's like, it's not that if the wife is cheating on the husband, it's like even if the wife is raped.
Yeah.
Even if like you didn't.
By her husband.
You know,
you didn't lock her down.
You didn't lock her down enough, right? The husband becomes the cuckold because he failed in some capacity.
Right, to lock her down. Right? Yeah. The idea that, like, you have to be asserting dominance constantly for any human relationship to have meaning is silly. As soon as you get to a place where you don't have to be asserting dominance, like, then you have this eureka moment.
Well,
but if you live
sleeps.
In a world where everyone is asserting dominance, like, you don't understand that there's another way to be. And
sure.
So, like, I feel bad for when people read, like, especially guys, say stuff to me like that because I, like, wow, you have never had a fulfilling relationship.
That's such a bummer. I love that you are in the place. And I think, Chris, like, there's no reason you should be here because I do call you the tiger by her side, you know? It's like, that you have compassion for the people that come for you and, like, you know their motives and you know that hurt people and you know that they're using you as their anesthesia.
Yeah, I mean,
you're a drug dealer.
It's so obvious to me is the thing.
But like, when did it become obvious? When? It couldn't have come. I mean, if you knew this when you were in jail, like, how did you?
Prison.
So it was becoming.
Prison!
They're different.
Yeah, I was in prison.
You.
This you learned mother, this like
you're,
2 hours
you're ago. You're holding up a mirror and I don't like it.
That's
some shit I would do. Oh, really? You hate everyone? You hate them?
What was I going to say?
When
did you know that people that attack you were in pain?
Because I saw their pain. Like, I don't know. I just...
You're empathic. Yeah. I hate the word empathic. It's kind of like gotten a little bit like...
Like, it's
a water bottle.
I just, like, I've never, like, had the impulse to punch a wall, right? Like, I know people do that when they're mad, and I've seen people do that when they're mad, and I've just never had that impulse before.
Yeah.
And I see them, and, like, I feel like someone's impulse to punch a wall is their same impulse to punch a person, their same impulse to hurt a person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you are clearly feeling something that I just don't feel.
Ancestral. Like, it's so much bigger than you.
It's so much bigger than
that
me.
That first reaction, and that's my fear about the Neuralink that Rogan's always talking about and Elon Musk, and we were talking about this the other day, which is, like, my first and second thought is probably not great. It's never great.
And it's so wonderful that you acknowledge that because other people so much identify with their thoughts that they can't bear the thought of thinking the wrong thing.
Feelings are not facts. That
no.
is the first thing you
learn. Even your own thoughts are not facts.
That's right.
Like, you can be
well,
like...
not you.
They're not you.
Yes,
like,
you're not defined by your thoughts or any... And...
My favorite part of that history is when men realized that women needed sexual satisfaction. So they were just like, oh, we're just going to diagnose hysteria and give them dildos.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like almost compassionate. But then they also like locked them into mental institutions and like banged them with dildos.
Am I making that up?
You are not making that up.
And I'm happy to cut it.
I'm
so scared asking that.
They said in court that, and they claimed in court that Meredith was intimidated by my vibrator. She thought that, like, I was just this, like, overly sexual person, and she was intimidated by me. And therefore, we had a fight over my uncouth over-sexualized ways.
Was she English?
She was English.
Which was a gift, that vibra was a gift from her, a sort of tongue-in-cheek Spencer's, like,
yeah, like a last-minute
gift, yeah. Gift.
Yeah, like, oh, you know.
Most vibras.
She was like, until you find your Italian stallion.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's like the dick straws, about, like, I've never used a vibra.
Never used it.
Never, I've literally never used a vibra. I don't even know how they work. More chargers? More batteries to lose? Like,
okay, fun fact. I had never masturbated until prison.
I can't believe you just said that because I said, I can't believe you just said that because the other night I was like, I just want to know if she masturbated in prison because
I masturbated a lot in prison. Because at a certain point I was like, oh.
What did you think about?
I'm never leaving here. I better figure this out.
Yep. That's fucking so
she had to time it between guard rotations.
Yep.
You know?
They rotated, they masturbated to her.
They walk past and look in the...
Yeah, so you have to wait until everyone
else... So
they're
sitting staring at you.
Yeah, they open up the window and look in.
Did Jeffrey Epstein kill himself?
I don't think that it would be... Like, if he is really under suicide watch, there is no way that he would have been able to kill himself. I was on suicide watch, and there's no way in hell that I would have been able to kill myself.
Did you think about it?
I definitely thought about it. But also, like, it was funny that I thought about all the ways to do it, too, because it was the way that I decided that I would do it if I did it was I would slit my wrists in the shower
with
a broken pen.
This way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you know to go this way?
I've seen movies.
Yeah. Not really. You haven't seen Legends of the Fall.
Actually, it's true. I have not seen movies. Shocking. But I've seen enough movies to know that you're not supposed to go like this. This is, you're getting attention.
How much time do you have to masturbate between guard switches?
You have to get really fast.
I saw her cut tomatoes this morning.
Yeah. It was a deal because, like, most of the people in the prison were taking medication to just kind of get...
Were you on medication in prison?
I was not.
Wow.
The reason I was not was, one, because I've never taken... I've been the kind of person who, I break my foot, I never want to take medication.
You're not on anything now.
I'm never on anything.
As I'm on 9 antibiotics.
Take ibuprofen.
I don't take ibuprofen. And it's not because I'm, like, weird and, like, I don't trust... Like, I get vaccines. Like, I'm not, like, against things. I just have really, really high pain tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
Really, like, it's weird how high pain tolerance I have. And I don't like being vulnerable when I'm scared. So what I saw was...
Whoa. I don't like being vulnerable when I'm scared.
So if I'm scared, I want to be as alert as
sure.
Fuck.
Got it. Copy.
I am hyper vigilant. Mm-hmm. I want to be, I don't even want to be.
Before prison.
Yeah. Not before prison. Before prison, I was like.
Carefree.
I didn't think anything bad could happen to me. Nothing bad had ever happened to me.
Three sisters, you're.
I'm the oldest.
Oldest.
Yep. Nothing bad had ever happened to me. Nothing bad had ever happened to them. Super easy life. In fact, my first thoughts when I went into prison was, oh, I've had such an easy life. And like, karma forgot about me. And then like, was like, oh my God, we have to do something bad to Amanda. Just do a lot of bad stuff to Amanda.
I can't wait for it to be the best thing. I'm so excited.
Well, I mean.
I know. That guy. Like, I'm so excited for this to be the best thing for you.
Yeah. It's continually
like
the best
hindsight
thing.
Right now.
And what's really sad is like a part of me wonders if he would love me if I hadn't gone through everything.
Ooh.
But that's a weird question to even ask because it's like, well, I did, and here I am, and he met me after it happened, and it is part of who I am. So
the thing
live
that's,
with it.
That's messed up about that thinking is not the like the time runs in one direction. So like that sort of counterfactual thinking, I don't really believe in.
Right.
But the part I'm worried about is thinking like, well, this happened to me. It's not of me. And so what you like is a thing about me that I didn't create. And I think that's wrong because I think that the environment is the cauldron. You know, you're the raw ingredient. And like not everyone emerges from that experience the same.
That's true.
And you emerged who you are because of how you decided to react to all that. So there's a lot of choices you made every single day. Right. So right. I think you do have ownership of who you became.
Yeah, you're slowly convincing me of that. And I love you for it. So.
SVU.
SVU. I haven't seen it.
There was an SVU episode. I'm trying to look it up where they said Lexi, sexy Lexi or something.
Sexy Lexi.
And they did an episode based on you.
So here's the thing. I don't care if people do episodes based on what happens to me. Like, that's fine. Like, that makes sense. The question I have is, if you are so going to directly reference me mm-hmm. and you're going to make that parallel, are you going to reinforce a false narrative about me or an actual narrative about mm-hmm. me? So, like, if the story that SVU presents is girl who loves orgies and having sex with her drug dealer and her roommate ends up dead and who knows what the
drug
truth
dealers
happened.
Can't get their dick up, by the way.
Maybe that's true. I don't know. But like, if the ending is, well, maybe she didn't, maybe she did, then you're just reinforcing this like narrative that is perpetually keeping me boxed in because people pretend that they don't know what happened. People pretend that there isn't clear, unequivocal evidence that some motherfucker raped and killed my roommate and I had nothing to do with it. And they like the idea of
it in her. Sorry.
They didn't find semen. They found his DNA in her vagina, though.
They didn't test for semen.
They didn't test for semen. There was semen on the pillow that was found underneath her hips, and they didn't test it. They didn't test it because they didn't care, because they had me, and I don't produce semen.
Yeah.
So what they wanted was a scenario where some sex happened, and I was the one responsible for it. So semen is irrelevant. Right? So, like, here I am going, okay, like, sure, tell my story a million different ways, all the way you want it, except, like, stop reinforcing this narrative that we don't fucking know what happened, because that is bullshit. Mm. And so, like, I don't know. I haven't seen the SVU episode. I love Law & Order. I'll watch that shit all day.
If your go-to outfit in 2020 has become sweatshirts or yoga pants, you may be feeling like you're in a style rut. Let's... Stitch Fix, I need your help. If you're watching the podcast, if you're listening, you're going to have no idea what I'm talking about, but I'm truly naked.
Yeah, if you're Adam and Eve and you're stuck in a garden with nothing to wear, Stitch Fix will help you right out. Stitch Fix offers clothing hand-selected by expert stylists.
I need clothes. Literally, I'm naked at the moment.
For your unique size, style, and budget.
I'm literally naked if you're watching the YouTubes. Because I don't like shopping for clothes. It stresses me out. Also, malls are closed now, aren't they? Are there any left?
Yeah, there are malls, but who wants to go there when you have Stitch Fix?
Stitch Fix.
Or you can go right online, Stitch Fix, take your style quiz, tell them what you like, and a stylist will send you personalized items for your style, your fit, your wear, men, women, children, they got
Where
it all.
Who was this company when I was 16 and buying dresses at Jesse McClintock for prom?
If they were in Hollywood. They were working stylists. They were helping other people, not you. This is for everyone now.
Stitch Fix, this company basically automatically delivers you hot fashion?
Based on what you like off your quiz, yeah.
Jesus, that's genius.
Take a quiz, get a look. Mm-hmm. Get started today at stitchfix.com/Whitney. You'll get 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. That's stitchfix.com/Whitney for 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. stitchfix.com/Whitney.
I think it's safe to say that some people are having psychological challenges right now.
Name them. Who?
Everyone.
Tweet about it.
Me. Okay, fine. It's me. I think it's safe to say that everyone could use a little mental health support at the moment. And I'm not just saying that because I'm sitting here naked in my house, hosting a podcast in front of a bunch of makeup, holding a nose warmer. If you guys are only listening on audio, I really feel bad for you because you're missing a lot of these hot visuals. But
no, actually, you won't need as much help. So maybe BetterHelp. This is about BetterHelp in case you haven't caught on yet. BetterHelp is, you know, we've talked about before, licensed professional therapist. They'll match you to someone who will help you right up all over this world.
Why are you guys doing this? BetterHelp.com.
It's on, like, your time.
But everyone knows about it at this point if you've listened to the podcast. I think now it's not just like reading this thing. It's like you deserve it. It was the holidays. I'm sure you've had some fights with
just
some...
Just go get help.
You with some aunts.
Be better.
There's some things you need to unpack, let's be honest. From Christmas, New Year's.
Yeah, your luggage. See, why is that sitting around? You're depressed.
You're depressed.
Unpack your luggage when you come back. Visit BetterHelp.com/Whitney. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Special offer for good for you listeners, get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/Whitney.
I just Googled you.
Ooh, how'd that go? How did that go?
It's better than Googling me. But no, I want to go back to Lady Gaga.
Yes.
So
sweet Lady Gaga.
You are such a like fucking, like, I it's very rare that someone makes me laugh. I'm pretty numb. I know where everyone's going. It's frustrating to have to perform around people for comedians, you know? It's like Chris Rock or,
because you guys are masters of the craft. So you like to really do the twist. You have to like twist it.
Who was it? Was it Chris Rock or Seinfeld? One of them said, like, when comedians are at a event and another comedian comes in the room, they're like, oh, comedian. Mm. And they can sit in the corner and just not be funny.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like we could totally just be like, dude, what the fuck? And not perform, take the mask off.
Mm.
And like you are sharp as fuck, cutting. Sorry.
Good joke.
It's not, that was not a joke. Shit.
Incisive. Cutting with,
fuck. Cutting with your cooking show is knives out with Amanda Knox. I mean, it's a tough one. I can't even compliment you without
razor sharp.
Razor sharp with Amanda Knox. You should have come out with a set of knives with Chrissy Teigen, Courtney's collection.
That actually happened, like, the second I was acquitted, there was a promotional thing with a magazine in Italy that had, like, the front page, me getting acquitted, and a complimentary knife set. Mm-hmm. People love putting knives in my hands.
Or photoshopping knives into my
your
hands, you know?
Yeah. Because you're even near me. So either you're being murdered by me or you're murdering people with me.
Whose trajectory? Like Monica Lewinsky, does she, when people come up to her, are they like Navy? Can she wear Navy? Can she ever wear a beret again?
She calls herself beret model, former beret model on her Twitter.
Love her for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I would ever do knife modeling. Don't think I would ever do that.
So Lady Gaga tweeted,
fame is prison. And I happened to notice that just like as
how?
I was doom scrolling as you do,
yep.
Like over breakfast,
what
we were just like doom scrolling.
You
doom
follow scrolling. Lady Gaga.
I follow Lady Gaga.
Nice. I don't think you did. I think you saw it through someone else at the time.
Oh, maybe someone who I follow retweeted it. Yeah. I don't know.
Hasn't seen Legends of the Fall.
Haven't seen Legends of the Fall, but I noticed that Lady Gaga tweeted that, and I was like, you know what would be funny? I hear you, Lady Gaga, but prison is prison. And that wasn't meant to, like, call her out. It was literally just supposed to be like, ha-ha.
Like,
yeah, like hey.
What we're doing right now.
Yeah, exactly. And what made me sad about the reaction was people were like, yeah, Amanda, burn her, burn her. And I was like,
Jesus.
I'm not a burner. Like, yeah,
but that's what,
like,
Twitter is. It's the mosh pit. You're jumping in a mosh pit. It's the Roman Coliseum. Like, you go in there to fight.
It's the same instinct as when the quarantine first happened and everyone's like, it's like being in prison. And Amanda's like,
it's not.
You know, like, let's remember that, like, prison is prison and, like, quarantine can suck.
At the same time, like, as this whole quarantine is going on, I'm thinking about the fact that not only are prisoners in prison, but now they cannot even see their families. And if that was happening to me, like, I lived for my visitations from my family and they never missed a visitation.
How often?
It was 8 hours a month.
Any iteration of?
So it was basically like almost once a week. So
they
it was
had
once
to fly
a week.
To Italy.
They had to fly to Italy. They lived in Italy. So everyone lived in Italy for like a month at a time. And they spent that entire month in Italy so
in
they
Perugia?
Could see me in Perugia, Italy, so that they could see me for 8 hours over the course
they
of that.
An hour at a time.
For 1 hour at a time.
Was the food
over the
good?
Course of a month. No. And... Yeah, and the idea that, like, there are people who are going through that process without having that connection to the outside world, that
and who are trapped
me.
In a COVID petri dish.
They're
you know?
Trapped in a COVID petri dish.
Brings up, that's me with horses and barns and dogs and anything trapped.
Yeah, they're literally trapped. We are forcing them to, you know, we're exposing them to risks that is not a part of their sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And
is there any country that you're not, like, where are you the least famous?
That's
a weird question.
That is a weird
Google
question.
Google Trends can answer this.
Ooh.
You know what? Google Trends can answer this.
GoogleTrends.com?
Yeah. And then you just look up
probably trends.google or something.
Google Earth. So I'm doing mine.
Yeah. See where you're the most famous.
No, I don't want to know. Where you're the most Googled?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a lot of support in Ireland, as it turns out.
Nice. Yeah. Islands. Islands love you. Okay, so...
Except for England.
And Knox. I don't know what I'm looking at. Kidnapping?
You can...
Oh, these are related topics.
You can sort by country and you can sort by state and things.
Okay, this is like... I think this is...
We have the data.
This feels like that I'm on the dark web and I'm... like, I feel like I'm trafficking something.
Apparently, Alaska is your number one state.
Alaska?
Whitney Cummings?
Yeah. People in Alaska love you. Then Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Oregon, Colorado. California doesn't like you.
No, because I'm like, what the fuck are... I'm like alt-right to them. When
right.
I say that people should be able to make jokes.
Right.
I'm a pariah in California. Because I think that people should be able to get employed in the pandemic.
Yep.
And they should be able to feed their kids.
Yeah.
It's a hot take. That I think that...
And you know what? You're allowed to have it.
And I'm allowed to be wrong.
Yes, you are.
Dude, she's wrong. Whitney was wrong about that thing. Cool.
That's okay.
Help me be right. Not all right. Like, I just want to learn. Okay, so... Yeah, it's like... It's a little bit sloppy to be using you to... Why were you trending 4 weeks ago? Like, you're a little bit of, like, slow news day. Let's, like, trudge up Amanda Knox.
I agree. Which is, like,
how is
that
even possible? Your husband's name?
I did not. Part of that is because I didn't change my name when I first came home, precisely because I was, like... People invited me and asked me if I was going to do that, and I was like, I literally did nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong mm-hmm. with Amanda Knox. Mm-hmm. Everyone else has the problem, mm-hmm. so I'm just going to be me. And I'm not going... Like, it felt like I was giving up... I was giving in to the people who were saying that there was something wrong with being me. And so I was just like, there's not. I am assertively... telling you that there's nothing wrong.
And why haven't you watched The Flight Attendant?
Because I've been here hanging out with you. We've been staying up till midnight chatting.
And do you like it when people reference you and stuff? Because it's the conceit is you're innocent.
I mean, I appreciate when people care about what happened to me. And so I'm constantly, like when Kristen Schaal made that joke about me in 30 Rock, I was like, oh my God. Like, I was on Kristen Schaal's radar, and I love her, and she's great. And, or when I watched Tina Fey's other show, The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, like, there was so
Whoa,
many moments.
That must have been...
I felt so seen. I felt so
Ooh.
Seen.
Yeah. Orange is the New Black didn't go so well.
Orange is the New Black, I tried. I almost got through one episode without having a panic attack, but I couldn't. Yeah. There are things, like, especially the prison experience, which I haven't talked a lot publicly about because a lot of people don't really care. Like the thing that was the most like impactful for everyone else, like the trial and
least interesting thing about you.
Well, like the narrative is the thing that everyone cares about. The narrative like affected me
like,
in
I
the sense that it put me
mean.
In prison.
Like I have so like your sister tattoos. Like I have so many.
Do you want to know what these tattoos mean?
Sure.
This one, which. Where's the camera? That one. First of all, both of these tattoos are tattoos that I share with Chris.
Yay.
We have the same ones. This is my skeptics tattoo. So it's the, what is the symbol? The resistor symbol. Yeah. So the resistor doesn't allow all the electricity in and out. So I'm being aware of what information is being put in and what information I give out. I'm just being conscious of that because I need to be skeptical and I need to be thoughtful about the things that I'm allowing to affect me and the things that I'm putting out into the world. This here is a number of symbols. This one, the Venn diagram, is find common ground. So when I'm talking to someone, I need to find common ground. If they're making an argument, I need to give them the benefit of the doubt and understand the strongest version of their argument, even if they aren't expressing it well.
You and me all the time.
I need to have compassion, and I need to be willing to change.
Boo!
Yeah.
Let me take off my horse bolero. Once
yeah, nice. Take it off.
So this one, I love it. So this one is white. I got white tattoos because
Oh, pretty. You know what? The tattoo artist, like, I wanted white tattoos, and they were like, no.
This one says, I love you.
Cute.
Which is just for like...
I love it how it looks like a scar it's when you don't have...
It's basically scarification.
Yeah.
And then I have an anchor right here that's upside down that only I can see. I just want to just... I love you. I think you can ask someone three questions and fall in love with them. Hmm. Like, I think... Or find a way to love them. Not like sexual, like I want to fuck you, but like you can find a way to... The common ground of your concentric circle.
Yeah. I mean, I want to understand people. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you can understand people by judging them.
Where do you go on vacation?
I love to go hiking. I love to be outdoors. And I also love art museums, which is why, ideally, I would go to Japan for our honeymoon eventually. Because it's great food, great outdoors, great culture, and great art. Mm-hmm. That would be my ideal place to go.
Dude. Italy, I am so obsessed. The most beautiful place in the world, I think, is Ravello, Italy.
I've never been.
It's one of my dearest friends, Lizzie Kaplan, got married there. It's so phenomenal, but I am... Oh, my God, I just got scared to talk about my mafia. that was weird. It's like that's I don't give a fuck about Scientology. I'll like fucking go off on Scientology, but mafia, I'm like
just, is there a presence here?
No, but I mean in Italy, like just from what I learned from the Berlusconi podcast, it all feels very emotional to me and very irrational to me, and not that America is that different, and I cannot fucking stand when people from other countries come in and criticize a country they're not from. Like, that always bums me out. I'm always just like, okay, go back then. If you hate America so much, go back. Like, we got it, Piers. We got it. Thank you. Like, I'm sure he's like, I think he's kind of, I think him and Ann Coulter are kind of performance artist-y, you know? I don't even know.
Like, they perform mean?
I don't think they really believe what they believe. I just am sort of like...
That'd be interesting.
It's like how you lean into... Borian Cerf, very brilliant neuroscientist at Northwestern who interviewed me for The Female Brain, and we've talked about you a lot.
Oh.
About memory and this sort of uncomfortable thing that memory is imperfect and that's not something to talk about during the Believe Women thing, and you're not really allowed to say that right now. As someone who...
But it is absolutely 100% true.
Yes. And the story, as stories get retold, they get punched up, they get changed, they get exaggerated and amplified.
You can be convinced that you have a memory that you've never had. Like, they've done studies on this.
I've told stories that aren't mine and thought they happened to me.
Yep.
But, you know, so without getting specific, because it's a case-by-case basis, there are times where it's like I'll see someone accuse... you know, a man of rape or assault or something. And I'm like, I don't think that happened, but I think something happened to you. But it wasn't that. You know what I mean? And it's like, because women carry around this like cumulative arsenal of every guy that fucking put his finger up your butt in the bar and every guy that just kind of grabbed your neck and kind of every guy, you know, that just... And then when someone that is clickbaity does it, it's like, boom.
People can also have incoherent beliefs that they deeply believe, and they can be hypocritical. It doesn't mean that it's
in
not
fact,
true. Like when you talk
a
about
lot of people's beliefs,
Ann Coulter or Piers Morgan or whatever. Like when we went back to Italy, Piers Morgan was mad that
What year, sir?
Last year.
Yeah,
last year. What part of Italy?
I went to
Milan and
I went to Modena is where it was ultimately going to take place. But like the Italy Innocence Project, which didn't exist when I was going through everything, was holding its first ever big public event about wrongful convictions, and they invited me to be the keynote speaker to talk about trial by media.
How much did they pay you?
None. But it was, you know, for the Innocence Project.
Yeah, it's for the Innocence Project.
It was for the Innocence Project.
Piers is mad that Amanda's in the spotlight and that it's
paid for your flight?
They paid for part of the
flight. Part of it, yeah.
But you know what? They did give me a personal security guard when I was there.
That was Italian?
Yes.
Yeah.
But he was great.
He was great.
Really, really great guy.
Love you, Giulio.
But, you know, he'd been begging Amanda to come on his show. And then he's mad
at
her.
Begging me
to,
humiliate
her.
Yeah.
And indeed, when I called him out, he was like, yeah, because you know what I would ask you. And I was like, yeah, you would victim blame me and not listen to anything I had to say because you're actually not interested. So.
Yeah, he's a clear, but it's like, It's like what we were talking about before with the guns. It's like the hustle, you know? It's like the huckster. Hmm. It's like feeding my family, you know?
Lots of ways to feed your family.
What are your motives? Hmm. What are your fucking motives? It's sort of like, you know, we're all just trying to get ours. You know, we're all just trying to fucking do it, but it's like the good and evil. It's the goodwill. And it's interesting because I have this thought that right now with the radical transparency thing that's going on right now, which is like...
What do you mean by radical transparency?
Like everything you've ever done can and will be held
against you.
You are only as sick as the secrets you keep, bitch. Like there is, like everyone is on notice. The Damocles sword has been hung, and the Halloween costume that you wore when you were 17 might lose you your job that you deserve to have.
Yeah. It's bullshit. And it reminds me of how people use that against me in the courtroom.
100.
And it's like, oh, you mean like, oh, Raffaele's Halloween costume from a few years ago is being used.
Was that a thing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Do you tell? Like,
I mean, he had a Halloween costume where he was like wrapped up as
he was in blackface, and
he was wrapped up as he was like in a mummy costume, and he had like a meat cleaver. I don't even understand
they dug through their MySpace pages.
Yeah, and
found a picture of Amanda.
Look for ways to make him look psycho.
Museum, holding a, you know,
I was playing with like one of the machine guns, and it was just like.
And how old were you?
I was, you know, like 19, 20.
Because you also were this is like almost like the first. You were like the martyr of
birth of social media right around the same time.
Yes, kids got used to be able to do this in private, and it mm-hmm. wasn't documented. It was like the first, yep. like, out of all the people
iPhone
in the world.
iPhone had just been invented. Twitter was new.
Out of all the people in the world to be kind of the one that got it, because we all did that shit.
Of course.
In front of mirrors, and we sang in the shower.
Yeah.
We did all the shit, and the... I mean, there's some printed photo. Like, there was a printed photo that me and my friend, that I won't name because I won't drag them into it, where I was dressed as a geisha because I ordered this beautiful, I love kimonos so much.
Yeah.
I ordered this beautiful kimono. I found it at a flea market. And I put the, I took baby powder and I mixed it with water and did the whole thing.
The traditional thing,
yeah. I loved, and there's a printed photo of it floating around, and I remember, and I think about it like a couple times a week. I'm like, oh.
That's going to get you.
Yeah, one day. Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, so we're all in this sort of like, when am I going to?
I just find it fascinating how, like, we have, there are so many reasons for you to, like, have problems with people, and yet mm-hmm. we're finding reasons to have problems with people that are not real reasons.
Are you into terror management theory at all?
Explain.
I can't eloquently, but essentially we're the only species that knows we're going to die, so we have to sort of, like, you know, engage in all this rigmarole, trophies and teams and tribes and to symbols and shields with, what are the Scottish emblems that emblazoned on a shield? Like a Nittany lion, like a crest. Thank you. To have posterity to feel some level of immortality because
certainly
we'll all imminently die.
Right. And we're also like entering into a sort of regression to a place where we need, instead of like being this sort of enlightened world where everyone finds their own meaning and is the author of their own meaning, we are instead regressing back to a world where we want to be told what everything means and who we are
mm-hmm.
so that we can belong.
Mm-hmm.
And
we all just want to be loved. I mean, it's just...
We just want to be loved.
Seen, heard, and loved.
And the easiest way to do that is to join other people in judging someone who's an outsider.
And also, it's this shame we carry around of, like, forgive yourself. You know, it's like everyone that thought you did this and got off on it and... thought it was titillating and scantillating.
That's great.
Scintillating.
I have a little speech impediment that doesn't allow me to do that. And so, like, I say don't ride elephants at the end of every episode because I rode elephants in Thailand.
Mm.
And I didn't know.
Yep.
And I had a framed photo of me on an elephant, and then I am like into getting elephants out of circuses and moving elephants out. And then I look through a picture and I'm like, I see the chains on the feet. And I'm like, oh my God, I did that.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's going to be, and there are going to be things 20 years from now.
I've done that.
That where we go.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know.
I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
Woo, bitch. I just feel like I made a best friend. Is Amanda Knox my new best friend?
I wasn't listening. I was playing Best Fiends. I don't know if you guys are friends or not.
But I
have to ask.
I just made a best friend. Amanda Knox has done two episodes. We had a two-parter.
I leveled up some tiny bugs. So
you're jealous of me and Amanda Knox's best friendship. So you're playing Best Fiends in the corner like a brat.
All my friends and me are on Best Fiends. So
Best Fiends is now that I have a best friend named Amanda Knox.
You have someone to play with.
She'll play Best Fiends.
I bet she would play
with
Best
me.
Fiends.
She's my best fiend. Amanda Knox is my best fiend.
I love Best Fiends.
So where do you play Best Fiends? And please don't.
I play it on my phone.
When you're getting my Prozac at the Rite Aid?
No. I play it. I'll tell you when I play it. I play it.
Because it's that game. Remind everyone, it's a game in the App Store.
Yeah, it's an online like role play game on your phone where you get to play as these different kinds of bugs and you fight slugs and you level up your bugs and they change looks. It's very dramatic.
It's like role play and you don't have to have sex at the end. It's the best.
It's different role play, yeah. I play mine though. I like to when I pop in my nuggets in my toaster oven. I like to play it while they're toasting.
So you play Best Fiends while you're making nuggets?
Yeah, of course.
I'm so into video games right now. Like Best Fiends. Otherwise, I'm just gonna be scrolling Instagram. I'm gonna be like looking at exes, looking at their new girlfriends. Like it's just so unhealthy where my brain goes.
Yeah, pretend your ex is a slug. Fight them.
So I go to Best Fiends instead, taking a contrary action.
It's a 5-star rated puzzle game. It has over 100 million downloads.
It's like...
it's the game.
Binge-worthy mobile puzzle game. Free to download. Download Best Fiends free today on the Apple Store. You say it.
Download Best Fiends free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends. FIENDS.
Are you my best friend or my best fiend? Amanda's my best fiend.
The best time of your life. Listen, multivitamins. We're all taking them.
No, Benton.
We're not taking them?
What a segue.
You're still naked. And we're still, we've been naked for four of these.
We talk about ritual vitamins on this show quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's our ritual.
Yeah, it's our ritual to talk about.
The ritual on the show. I always screw up this ad read, so I'm going to let Benton take this one from here.
Ritual, it's not your typical multivitamin. It's clean, vegan-friendly formula with key ingredients that
been on it since before I had a podcast, just saying.
She has. It forms, and its key nutrients informs your body can actually use. Ritual is a multivitamin reimagined. It's formulated with key nutrients, including vitamin D3 to help fill gaps in the diet.
Vitamin D3, which helps your immune system.
Their fresh-tasting, delay-release capsules are designed to dissolve later. Men, women, and teens, there's vitamins for them that are now available. They're scientifically developed to help support different stages of all of your life. Whether you're a man, woman, or a child, every life stage it'll support. You deserve to know what's in your multivitamin. That's why Ritual is offering our listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/Whitney to start your ritual today.
So who's your dream guest on your podcast?
Ooh.
Labyrinths, which is, can I tell you, a velveteen audio experience. I mean, it is so well mixed. It is so smooth. It's like a jazz. It's like jazz. It's just like the pacing's perfect.
We really work hard to make
it. I'm a fucking nightmare. I am so like you. Were we watching something at ADR? Did you watch me yell ADR at movies?
No.
When I watch movies, I'm like ADR, ADR, looping. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Emily, it's the worst. I have no notes on your podcast.
Amazing.
I can be a listener.
Wow. Well, I really
appreciate that. And I have misophonia, which is like I hear things really loudly.
That's amazing. I really appreciate that because we've worked really hard.
You don't say like a lot, which I'm working on. You're not like.
Well, being forced to like, first of all,
like.
Yeah, right. Being forced to, first of all, learn another language and then have to perform for your life makes you very self-aware.
Perform for your life. Say that again a different way.
Perform for my freedom. So here I am. I have one chance to make my case in front of a court. I'm not allowed to speak. The vast majority of the time that I'm on trial, I'm not allowed to even defend myself. The one chance that I do is the one chance that I have. And that ultimately is, interestingly, the thing that is going to be the biggest outcome, because people don't judge based on the evidence. They judge based on how they feel about you.
And they're, yeah, and they're, yeah, and your reaction.
Yep. So
did you speak? I remember having to stop. I hit the space bar when you they said you're innocent, and you like kind of collapsed and cried. Like I hit the space bar. Did you ever speak to them?
Yes. Right before they went to go do a verdict, like when everyone was doing closing arguments, I had an opportunity to stand up and speak.
In Italian.
Amanda Knox is getting married in 40 days, but she's still rocking her old prison uniform. CNN, do better.
Yeah, if that's on CNN.
Whoa, that is like low hanging.
And also, like, again, I'm doing a lot of things. Why are we looking? Why are we making fake headlines from
Nexium
Instagram?
Knox? That's like a fucking. I'm working in a news station, I'm like Nexium Knox. Fuck yeah.
That's sexy.
Boom, yeah. Boom, boom, boom. Foxy, Noxy, Nexium.
Yeah. For the record, I know nothing about that case. And the only thing I know anything about is conversations about prosecutorial integrity, which is how I was introduced into this whole thing in the first place.
Wow.
So I have no opinion on that case because I
actually
know nothing
about it. You're not allowed to be funny. You're not allowed to make crass jokes.
And I'm not.
It's such a fucking bummer because you're so fucking...
No. Well, thanks. I mean, I can do it around you and then hopefully...
And it annoys me because I'm like, fuck. It's funny. Fuck. It annoys comedians.
Does it?
Yeah. When other people are funny, it annoys us.
Oh.
It's like, ah, fuck, I should have thought of that.
Oh, I see.
Fucker. Like, that's what we do. Yeah.
Hmm.
But you
think what that would feel like.
You will make me laugh. Like, you will make me, like, laugh. Like, you're very surprising. And I think it would be this way even if I didn't have you in my hippocampus, like
really?
Amanda Knox.
I wonder, like, my impression is that people tend to have an already preconceived notion of me that is very easy for me to break because I'm very much not what people imagine.
Yeah. You're not just like jerking them off the second you meet them.
Yeah.
You're not just masturbating.
I don't walk into a room like this.
Like, let's all fuck each other.
Or
let's fuck each other.
She's also not enigmatic. You know, like that's a false
belief
by the media.
Like the idea that I'm like.
Yeah.
Walking
Yeah. Like you're just this siren, like, this sexy.
I remember like you gave a talk at some.
How much money?
Crime con thing a while ago. What was it?
Was that paid?
It was.
Okay.
And then I was overhearing people in the fan line talking to you, and I overheard these two girls walking away from the talk going, she wasn't that weird.
Yeah, they're like, I'm supposed to be having like wrong reactions to everything in the world because everyone's like, oh, she's must be. People have been told me, oh, you must be histrionic. Oh, you must be like, you just might be on the autism spectrum. And I'm like, good job diagnosing me from afar. Cool.
You're not that weird. What's your dream next 10 years?
My dream next 10 years is that Chris and I start a family and
with
you, clearly. we're the best threesome ever. And we have a successful show.
Yeah. Podcast.
Well, podcast, or we're developing a number of shows, including a comedy one about pariahs. So, about what it's like to be a public-facing woman, particularly when... You know how we talked about, like, there's being famous
and rich.
By the
way, don't even get me fucking started on all the shows that say they want a Whitney Cummings type and don't want me.
That's cute. Well, it means they know you then.
I'm like, people know me. People know me.
Do they?
I have no idea how famous that you and I walking into Bobisha. I actually want to do
that would be so funny.
A little like thing that's just called Do You Know? Have you heard of me? Do you know me? Like, I just want to go up to people and be like, have you ever heard? I just need to understand where I stand.
Sure.
I don't care what the answer is. I'm just genuinely curious.
But if we go out to coffee together and like
you and I,
yeah, and then see what happens. I think it would depend on where we go, but I think you would get it.
Let's fly that airline together.
Oh my
just
god!
See what happens.
Right. What name do they yell? Yeah.
I would be holding your purse in the background. Okay, so making the show, you want a scripted show or you want it loosely scripted, improvised?
I would love a scripted show because Chris mm-hmm. and I are writers. And
nice.
I would love a comedy show because I am, first of all, I love comedy. Like, uh-huh. I at the end of a long day of dealing with really, really serious shit, mm-hmm. which we do constantly.
Well, like, I just would like you to stop talking about blood.
Well, yeah, and like, or like, there's just like a million ways that people can be victimized,
goofy
and
shit.
I empathize with that. Yeah. I love goofy shit. Like,
goofy
I know Weird Al songs by heart.
You're a goofball.
So
dude.
I love goofy shit, and like, this is my catharsis at the end of the day is cooking dinner while
you're
listening to Weird Al.
Fucking nerd. You're like a nerdy.
Yeah, and then watch Doctor Who. Yeah. No, you're not a Doctor Who fan.
I don't know Whoville.
Don't worry about it.
I don't really know what that... I look like a Whoville.
Yeah.
Don't I kind of?
But very different than Whoville.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just sci-fi. It's just like goofy, silly sci-fi.
Are you a cosplay?
Oh, my Lord.
So are you like...
You didn't invite me to bring costumes over.
Are you Dungeons & Dragons?
We play Dungeons & Dragons.
What's
my current character
LARPing?
Is named Irid.
LARPing?
LARPing, my first ever... this is how we knew we were in love and whatever. Like, his first birthday that I was a part of, mm-hmm. I organized with his brother, who is a professional knight who jousts and everything. Mm-hmm. We orchestrated a whole day of LARPing where he was a futuristic, like, sci-fi agent.
I woke up in the morning.
Yes,
she's
tell it
gone.
From your perspective.
And I stumbled to the bathroom, and there's this weird outfit there. It's like red leather coat and a pair of like weird futuristic sunglasses. And she's gone. And I'm like, where did Amanda
go? From what store?
Yeah. Goodwill.
Goodwill. Okay. And then I take a shower. And then as the mirror fogs up, I see that someone has
secret
written on
message.
The mirror, see you next time, Coco. And I'm like, what is this? And then I get a phone call from like an altered voice that's like, meet in the cafe. You know, there's this whole like adventure planned out.
That we organized all of it. We wrote a story.
Who's the line producer on this production?
We wrote a whole story. We got all of the friends in on it. Everyone was a character. We organized the whole neighborhood. We set up like things for him to like find throughout the neighborhood because he had like a secret mission. We like, it was a whole day worth of like
our
everyone.
Mission's ever not secret.
I guess not. Right. Yeah.
I'm just trying to to get in your LARP.
Yeah, no, but like it was so great, and like his introduction to me was like I had this like crazy mask on, and he had to like battle me in a battle of wits of like laser chess, and then once he did, like it was all everyone had a character, and
it was super fun.
So, what's your franchise?
What's our franchise?
Harry Potter.
Yeah. Oh, yes. My franchise that like got me through a lot, actually. Like Harry Potter really helped me out when I was in prison because I've read the books so many times that reading them in Italian helped me learn Italian.
Whoa.
Yep. And
you have like tampons and stuff?
No. We had pads. So we had these giant, thick ass pads, and we had to like, you know, ration them and everything. Like it was a thing. And a lot of people are mentally ill in prison, and some of them would like ration their used one.
Sure.
So it's like
it's green.
Yeah. It's I prison is
sorry,
I don't recommend
that we're out, we're off
I don't recommend it.
there's a comedian named Stephanie Escajeda who I came up with, and she tweeted one time she went to jail like for a night or something, and she just tweeted, this was like back in the day, like MySpace days, and she just tweeted, prison is no joke. It was so funny like at the time.
It's like you're in jail, not prison.
Still.
Jail, yeah, she said
jail is no joke.
Jail
is no joke is also true.
If I don't leave this interview knowing the difference, I'm pathetic. And then, okay, so you're Harry Potter.
Huge Harry Potter fan.
Okay.
Yes, I'm a Hufflepuff.
And then, so Lord of the Rings, are we doing that?
Love Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. Didn't grow up reading the books as much as Harry Potter. He did. What's the point of Lord of the Rings?
What's the point of the Odyssey?
Yes, good question.
I fuck with the Odyssey.
Yeah, That's why you should fuck with Lord of the Rings.
But yeah. I was so young when I read it, it made me feel smart.
That's also a good
reason.
It's
the Joseph Campbell Heroes Quest thing. It's Star Wars.
And then things just happen.
I used to read, like
things happen and then they happen.
As a kid.
I loved R.L. Stine as a kid. So it was the only way that I could like deal with scary things. I could read about scary things, like R.L. Stine's scary things. I couldn't watch Are You Afraid of the Dark? Are You Afraid of the Dark scared the shit out of me.
Do you remember? Oh, my God.
Like, I would try to watch it.
Tales from the Dark Side?
Tales from the Dark Side? No. Is this another version of Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Come through. Tales from the Dark Side. It was like these little horror like featurettes. They were like 12 minutes or something. And there was one that was a blob that was in the middle of a lake. And these like hot girls and guys that deserved to die because they fucked and were sexual.
Right.
Went to the lake to fucking drink. And this blob just like ate them. And there was one where the cat kept chasing the guy, and the cat, I think this is my thing with cat, problem with cats.
Oh.
And a cat.
Didn't know you had a problem with cats.
I don't have a problem with it. It's like I have a, like a little bit of a, like a fear of
that it's going to go in your mouth?
It goes in his mouth and kills him. I'll send it to you.
Oh.
You guys have heard of this.
Okay. I have not seen that.
I mean, Old Yeller wasn't great either.
So this aired from 83 to 88.
I was born in 87. But did they rerun it?
Yeah, I'm sure that it was on reruns, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it was on reruns.
Yeah, like we do just train our children to want to be attention and fear. I mean, it's the
Grimm's fairy tales. Yes. Fucking scary as fuck.
We love it.
Yeah, and they're morality tales.
And then yours is fantasy too. I mean, it's like all crime is it's like it doesn't matter if it's true or not. I just it's Tales from the Crypt, Tales from the Dark Side. It's a puzzle.
Yep.
I love it.
And also it's like a statement about human nature. Like I think the saddest thing about the statement of human nature that people tried to push onto the story of my roommate being murdered and me being accused was that there was some problem between me and this other woman. Okay. That like all of this pain and death and destruction was the result of women hating other women.
Oh, it's...
And that was so not true.
It's it. And also it's we are people stay in power by separating, making it impossible for collusion to happen. So, and everyone knows that my ancestry is West Virginia, and all of the slaves that came in to work in the coal mines from Italy, from Ireland, Scotch-Irish, Scotland, they kept them separate so they could not collude. Mm-hmm. You know, that was like the unions, or I'm sorry, the way of avoiding them unionizing and rising up. That is how they keep us. And this business has done it. Every sort of, I think, business does it in some way, is just keep the women. And this is what Me Too happened. Everyone's like, I think it was Annie Letterman, who's a comedian, dear friend, who was like, boys will be boys, but girls will be girls. So for your wedding, you made a spaceship?
So for our wedding, the wedding theme was time travel. Okay. And of course, if you're going to...
Is that a thing?
No.
String theory?
No, it was just general...
Real life?
I mean, are we...
Oh, is time travel possible?
I mean, sorry, that was dumb. I'm dumb, says Brody Stevens. If you don't get me, you're dumb. Brody Stevens 101. Comedian I will introduce you to.
Cool.
Killed himself.
Oh.
Broke my heart.
Damn. He won't introduce me to him at all.
And so, string theory. Masturbatory. What are we doing?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it didn't need to, like, make sense. What needed to happen was... We needed to have accidentally destroyed the time stream continuum.
Yeah.
And all of our family members and friends needed to come together to be a part of this ceremony to restitch space and time. So that was like
They were
general...
scattered throughout space and time. So
and that's
they had
why...
to arrive at the wedding from different time periods.
Yes.
And they had
so
to
there were...
solve a bunch of puzzles.
I had a friend who showed up as a dinosaur. So like there, people weren't even human anymore. Like this was...
Meteor?
Yes.
Dinosaur? Meteor.
So the meteorite...
Is that why they died?
Oh.
Yes.
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 The ice age following the meteor.
Yes.
Blocked out the sun.
And you proposed by having a meteor... hit your...
Crash land in the backyard. Mm-hmm. Yep. I was sewing a wizard cloak one evening, and out of nowhere, this, like, the sound of what I thought was, like, North Korea bombing us, like, came out of our loudspeakers, like, just... And he's like, oh, my God, I think something landed in the backyard. So we went out there, and E.T. music starts playing, which is where all these people...
TMZ got that right.
TMZ saw the proposal video and assumed that it was E.T. related. All the E.T. that had to do with it was that it was the music at the end of the E.T. movie that was the music playing as I was discovering this meteorite. And inside this meteorite was a broken labradorite plaque from the Encyclopedia Galactica many, 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 many thousands of years in the future that described our future together. And we took this idea of there's something happened in the future that launched something from the future to the past, and it broke the time stream continuum. We took that idea and we built an escape room wedding where all of our guests had to arrive in costume from different time periods they chose. Amazing. And we had a ceremony where we didn't walk down the aisle. We had to be rematerialized.
Had to make it about me. Had to make it about me. It wasn't about me. Oh my God, I panicked. My body got it.
We had to rematerialize in these specially constructed canisters that were constructed in the future to rematerialize lost time stream continuum space objects, which was us. So our family members had to, like, input their DNA. A future tech support person from the Encyclopedia Galactica had to orchestrate the wedding. He was our officiant. There was laser lightsaber battles. There was, like, it was a whole thing. And we had puzzles that we made ourselves. So
about a year, like, making puzzles.
We spent a year making puzzles.
Like escape room puzzles.
Escape room puzzles for every single table at the wedding. Everyone had to solve their puzzles in order for Chris and I to successfully be married and rematerialized. So that was the idea of the wedding. And all of our friends and family say it was the last fun thing because then the pandemic happened. We were so fortunate that it was February 29th. February 29th. Right before...
Whoa, is that leap year?
Leap day.
Leap day.
LARP day?
LARP day, leap day. It was the day we took
you
the
think
leap.
Of a better day for time travel wedding? Yeah.
The day that only exists every 4 years. Yeah.
Names are incredibly important. You know that I was almost named Amanda?
Hey.
That's what they named me first.
Oh.
That's so weird that I just remembered that.
Hey.
I remember that's like what every I'm here couple for. Years. I asked my mom, I think everyone that's struggling with their relationship with their mother, ask your mom questions about herself. She knows more than you, even if she's hurts your feelings, even if she's a nightmare, even if she's a mess. She's doing the best she can with the tools she has. Forgive her and ask her questions about her wedding. How did he do it? Were you scared? And I asked my, I finally figured that fucking out. Georgia said to me, she was just like, well, what about your mom? Like, what? How would she know? What tools does she have in her toolbox? And I was like, boom. Like, she's you. What if you had a kid right now? How would you do? You'd be a mess, too. And I asked her, like, about her wedding and stuff. And
were you in the womb?
Epigenetic.
At the wedding?
In the womb.
I was in my mom's womb at the wedding. I was, like, at the wedding.
Whoa! Let's talk about epigenetic imprinting at some point.
But I want to know more. What did you learn from your mom?
My mom was stood up at the altar, canceled the wedding the day before. Two rings, two engagement rings that I am now making into a necklace. Like things that you're just like, I didn't, how would I know? I was only thinking about myself.
Mm-hmm.
All I was thinking about is that you're not good and a good enough mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to, and everyone's always like, why do you have all these like Christmas decorations and parties everywhere and the this and the pomp and the circumstance and the gifts and the blah.
Yeah.
My mom was in public relations for Bloomingdale's, Neiman Marcus, and I grew up in malls. Mm. I grew up in shopping malls, and shopping malls are all about fucking decorating for the holidays. And I would
Mariah Carey, Right on time.
If we could license it, if we could afford that song, it'd be
great. How do the malls, how are they able to afford it every day at 5 p.m.?
No, it's for them. They get it free. I mean, it's promotion. It's like, oh, the I'm obsessed with casinos and mall psychology. The smells, the lack of clocks, the music, the air conditioning. You know, they do.
Yeah, they both give me incredible anxiety because I feel trapped. I know that they're trying to trap you there.
Yeah, casinos, no good.
No. I've been to a casino since coming.
Can you go to, like, haunted houses?
No. No. Very bad. I feel very trapped, and I don't like feeling trapped. I don't do well in closed spaces.
It's interesting because I have that not because because of the ancestral coal mining stuff. A lot of people that were in coal mines, because you have to go like truly a mile down in an elevator.
Totally.
In the coal mine explosions. Yeah. I mean, horses were down there.
Jesus. I didn't know they would fit. Horses, I mean, I guess they make they big
would,
enough holes.
Horses would go down, die. Inhaling the... Which is, I have a whole thing with the lungs. So it's like, I think a family constellation is in your future. I know it sounds...
Are you saying that I just look like I'm about, like, bursting to, like, I'm bursting with, like...
Family constellation is, like, the ancestral trauma you carry.
Oh.
Some of it is hooey-fooey-booey, fine. Some of it is, makes total sense. Have I fully told the horse carriage story, Dave?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Come on.
You've talked about it.
Be serious.
You just did with Elsinbury. I think that was the first time you've ever about saving the
horse carriages.
Horse carriages.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's like when I, like, what is your lot? Like, what is the unfinished business? You know, of your ancestry. And we look at herding dogs. And last night we were watching a video about the sheep and the. All I was looking at was the herding dogs. I was like, because herding dogs. That's the only way they can experience the world. And I always discourage people from buying these Aussie shepherds, Australian shepherds, because they
don't have a flock. They're like,
it's
piece of them
so
is missing.
Stressful for them.
Where's the flock?
Right. And then they try to, like, herd humans, and then they get into trouble because they're, like, nipping at humans. Yeah.
If your dog is barking, you got to let them bark, dude. That's just in there. Mm-hmm. They're doing their job. You know,
never declaw a cat.
People are like, huskies, like, oh, so much work. It's like, why did you get a husky? Like, they have it in there. They get dopamine from.
Why doesn't it just exist the way I want it to exist?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why can't you already be a trained dog?
Why aren't you my toy? Be my toy, human woman, animal. Yeah, no, I get really upset.
Time.
No, it makes me upset. Like, I genuinely feel like when people, I feel bad when, again, like, I'm drawn to the thing that has the least agency in the room. And when I see people who treat animals like toys,
I go offline.
Like, they have feelings. Like, they
apoplectic.
It's frustrating.
I drove through a fire to try to get a giraffe. I mean, I'm like, I go nuclear because I was in a fire as a kid. It's like, we owe it to ourselves and everyone around us to figure out what the fuck we come from. You know what I mean? And what we're carrying, the guilt we're carrying, the shame we're carrying, the unfinished business. Like, that's your job to figure out. It's not my problem. This isn't mine. This is your back. It's in your backpack. Take the shit out of your backpack and get rid of it. So the family constellation, which is, I'm sure, we talked about this a little bit with Kesha. Like, I'm sure it's part fooey, but who gives a fuck, you know?
Yeah, I've not heard about this.
Like, placebo effect is in effect, right? It's maybe, can someone look up what the, because I always say like 60%. And like, who decides these things, as my dad would say. Like, what I feel like Pew is the only one I respect for some reason. Why is that?
Been around for a long time.
Pew? Annenberg? Yeah.
They've consistently done what feel like studies that... That feel...
Labels aren't facts. You know what I mean? Does it feel true?
Yeah.
So I'll say it in short, because I think next time maybe we do a family constellation. If nothing, we'll get a joke out of it.
Oh, yeah, I'm German. Let's go there.
Have you not done your ancestry or any of your lineage?
I know my great-grandfather was in the Nazi army. So, like, I know that. Like, that's a thing. Like, I've seen pictures of him in uniform. Like, that's a thing.
Makes me so sad.
I mean, and at the same time, like, here's my Oma, who was in Austria while this was going on. Her mom died because a bomb fell on her, and she was starving to death. And, like, all of that is, like, real. And it's interesting how there's, like, this generational gap of wanting to talk about it. Like, our generation wants to talk about it, but the generation, my Oma's generation, or even my mom's generation, doesn't want to talk about it. They want to move on, and they don't want us to be carrying their burden, but they don't realize that we are carrying it anyway. Mm-hmm. So you might as well talk about it.
Jesus fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go to New York, you've seen me. Were you with me, Emily, when I was at... I think it was like Fallon or Letterman or something. And whenever I New York is hard for me because the horse carriages, I just can't do it. I
have ridden in a horse carriage before.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I didn't know better.
Have I think in Charleston.
I've done it like multiple times because I'm like horses.
I am obsessed with Lex Fridman. If I can ever get him to, have the time for me in every way. Lex, Tesla programs. What's his job?
He's an AI scientist.
AI scientist?
Yeah,
MIT
no dope.
Professor. MIT professor? The
sounds
sexy,
good.
Sexiest Russian. And to make robot horses so that we can have horse
Smart.
Carriages. So much cooler. And by the way,
so
that's where fucking Asia
is. And then like, people will ask if they can touch it.
Robot, right? Robot restaurant, which I want to show you.
Cool.
So robot fucking horses, great. Do it, man. Mm-hmm. Which is a whole other conversation about robot brothels and women. And mm-hmm. does it exacerbate or is it cathartic? And so I would cry every time I saw horse carriages. Like I would like... fly forward in a taxi cab and I had to cancel Letterman when I was not famous. Like when I was not I should be so lucky. I would be like I was like a muscular, you know, the body that heals itself. Is that the trauma release book? And I just had so much shit with seeing horses pull carriages, and it was just like so upsetting and so upsetting. And then I, you know, was just like, ah, I'm emotional, I'm crazy, I'm a woman, like I'm on my period.
Right.
Like maybe I'm just on my period. I have IBS. Like it's probably just like I'm just jealous of someone. I'm sensitive. And then my dad died, and I said to my uncle, like a couple months later, we were talking and I was just like making conversation after I had done the family constellation. I had done a family constellation where this woman came over. I'll give you her information. She should come on with you next time. Hmm. And she makes you stand on a piece of paper, like with your ancestors' names on it. And it was just like, what am I doing? This is so fucking LA. This is ridiculous. Like, what are we doing? Are we going to get charcoal toothpaste next?
I mean, it sounds like that. What is the game where you put your hands on the circles?
Ouija board?
No.
Twister!
It's like trauma twister.
Which was like the most sexual experience of my childhood. Getting
of course!
Like teabagged.
Tangled
by someone's
up.
Balls.
Yes!
Like just sort of
yes.
like under the guise of a math game.
Yeah, that's cute.
Like dots. Like, are we fucking? Like, why are we dry-humping on this And then I just don't know a lot. Like, I just, no one talked about it. And I was like, and she was like, your great-great-grandfather did something unforgivable. And I was like, well, yeah, of course. They cheat. All men cheat. Died of cirrhosis. Oh, tracks. Alcoholic. And then your mom, great-great-grandmother used the tactic of withholding love to punish. I do that.
Is this person just saying this stuff out of the blue? Like
she's sitting on a couch. I filled out a questionnaire.
This is based on things you've written down, or is she just bullshitting you?
I answered a bunch of questions. I'll have to find them.
Is there documentation that, you know, person used love to withholding love, etc.?
No. It's, by the way,
so it's not
it
real.
Could also be astrology 101, which is
She's doing like
I read a Taurus, that works too. Pisces, that works too. They right. all work. If I want them to work, I can like
yeah.
So it's basically like whatever pings you as true is true.
And I'm
for
like,
you.
I'm okay. fucking in. I wanna heal. I want a new story. I want a new story. I'm sick of my story. My story is not working. Like just let's rewrite it. Refresh. Update the software. Like I'm just in. Pay you by check. Fuck it. I'll drive to a weird hotel in Venice and pay you by Bitcoin.
Don't pay with
Please.
Bitcoin.
PayPal yeah. healer. PayPal healer with a little bag of rocks. Sure. Like I was just like anything to stop crying in my car. And then she was like, on your dad's great-great-grandfather did something unforgivable and you're carrying his guilt and it's an unfinished... It's unfinished business. Your caring is unfinished business.
Do you feel like you needed a reason why, though? Like, the thing that I've found from meditating is that the reason why we feel or think anything doesn't have to make sense. It can just be something that appears to you.
Yeah.
And I don't need a reason to know, like, I don't need to know why I'm feeling bad to know that I need to do something about it. Like, I know that I need to...
I don't need to take an action. You're saying you don't need to take an action.
Well, I don't need to like seek out my ancestors to understand that sometimes I feel shitty about myself or about the world. Like I just sort of allow myself.
I need proof. My brain needs proof. I need proof.
You need reasons.
True. Data. I need data. As long it can be fake. And I'm happy to change my mind, and I'm happy to be wrong, but terror management, warm at the core 101, like I need something, I need a wall to bang my head on. And so...
You need a scapegoat.
No.
You're the monster.
180. And then, yeah, no, I didn't follow you because I was in my own shit at the time.
Of course.
And then, as we all are, I'm a piece
I think
of shit
some people followed me just because they were in their own shit, and I was a good distraction.
Yeah.
So that's fine. Like, I get it.
Such a good punching bag.
She's got a very punchable face.
Yes, I can't look. And so, to make a long story fucking so long that I think the cards are running out on these cameras, Dave... getting there. Let me just and wrap this up. Is that and then did something and I'm talking to my uncle Mark, who is amazing, just amazing. And I'm like, hey, I did this family constellation thing. I'm a dumb libtard from LA, and I did family constellation. And I'm like, my life is so hard. I'm a white woman from LA, and my life is hard. And what's up with my great-great-grandfather? And he was like, oh, yeah, he died of cirrhosis. Tracks, got it. He worked in West Virginia, made a part that adhered horse carriages together. Like, he's the guy that figured out how to make the axles stick together. And I was like,
he manufactured the manacles.
Manacles. I don't know what it means.
What, manacles?
What's a manacle?
The shackle. You know, the...
Yeah. Yes. Don't flirt with me. And then...
You know about the sword of Damocles, but you don't...
manacles?
I went to monocle. Which I've... And I was like, well, everyone probably, that was everyone's business back then. Do you know what I mean? Like everyone
yes.
worked in horse carriages.
Everyone.
You know what I'm saying? So yes. It's like, I'm always like, challenge, challenge, challenge. And then he was like, no. Like he was the guy that like figured out how to get the wheels to stop going like out.
You know what though? He didn't invent the A-bomb.
He did not.
It's pretty cool that he didn't do that.
It's pretty cool he wasn't Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Was that right?
Feel better. I actually
It's a team effort.
Yeah. It's team effort.
So it's like let's go on this hike and go on all these wrong trails, and then get this amazing sunset at the end.
You know what's true, and this is what all of our ancestors have done, something unspeakable. All of them,
and they had to survive.
None of us is untouched by somebody doing something fucked up, because that's human.
We used to watch tigers tear apart human beings in a ring.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Harris.
We're no different than those people.
We just do it now on Twitter.
Yep.
Egging people's houses.
Our brains are no different.
Anatomically,
modern humans have been around for 50,000 years.
It's astonishing that we still don't do that.
If you want, for Christmas gifts, Sapiens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we read, which was the one that we read by Yuval Harari?
Sapiens.
We already read.
And then Homo.
And Homo Deus.
We already read Homo Deus.
I was so scared to mispronounce it in front of you.
Have you read The Righteous Mind by Jonathan Haidt?
Nope.
Really, really great.
I was thinking, have Michael Malice on.
That's probably the
worst idea you've heard in a while.
Best book.
We read
the,
that.
The Righteous Mind.
The Righteous Mind.
Yeah.
It kind of gets into why politics and everything is sports teams.
The worm at the core.
I would love to read that. I haven't read that. But like moral intuitions, where they come from. Like I love talking to people about.
We just want to feel safe and protected and loved at all times.
Yes, but all of us feel it in a different way, which is interesting.
Fuck you, man. You win. Who won this one? Who won this podcast, Emily?
But here's the thing. Remember, one of us doesn't have to be pegging the other. We can
still
be.
I don't know what it means. Are there even nerve cells in the butthole?
I feel it when it happens. I definitely feel that. So there's got to be.
I think the first time I ever see Dave put his hands on the back of his head and just go, I'm a father. Don't ride elephants. Labyrinths, plural. Spotify. Stitcher, everything, all
wherever
the time.
Wherever you get it. Thank you.
Follow Amanda. I do have some notes on your social media
Please.
It's very trepidatious as of course it is.
Yes, I am very cautious and I would love to be less. He's trying to convince me to be less cautious. You want me to put that Carole Baskin dance on.
I want us to do a little series of all the things you recorded and never posted.
Deal.
And why.
Okay.
Because I have problems with Tiger King that are so far beyond the Carole Baskin part of it.
The part for me that like hurt the most was when the mama tiger gave birth and then they immediately.
No, they always do for the cub petting. Always. They have to. They kill them right away. Cub petting. Always, 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 always. If anyone is touching an apex predator, lion, tiger or bear, it is always abuse. Always, always, always. If you see it on the morning news, if you see it on the fucking sideshow in, you know, the Ozarks, if you see a
human being getting anywhere near
touching a tiger, that means the mom was killed immediately. Black tiger, white jaguar, black tiger, I don't give a fuck. These people are nuts. Doc Antle, Malibu Wine Safari, I don't give a fuck, dude. It's all abuse. No, and it also suppresses their immune system. Because they can't get the breast milk.
Yeah, they're away
from
their mom.
So they're handicapped and they die. And they are also on drugs. So anytime you're taking a picture with a lion in Thailand or a tiger in Thailand, they're always drugged. And white tigers are always inbred and cross-eyed and can't hear or see. Aww. And it's all father's fucking daughters and brothers and shit. I know, it's I'm in too deep. Turns out. And if you guys care, lionsandtigersandbears.com, because it's also important, org. It's also important because animal abuse people, Whitney, animal abuse, there's so much other shit going on in the world. Children learn how to treat powerless beings from the way we treat animals. They only care about animals. They don't care about adults.
Yep.
So they learn, we put them in cages.
That's what Yuval Harari says about how future robots may treat humans, right?
Yep.
You want a clue? Look at how we treat animals.
Yep.
How do you think a superintelligence will treat humans?
Yeah. Not the best.
What's your note on her social media?
He wants to be justified. He's like, validate me, validate me.
She's so fucking sparkly and effervescent, and you just like.
Tell me to pop some zits on it.
You're like, you're Amy Sedaris, and you're, Rachel Ray, and you're Nigella Lawson, and you're.
You want some grit?
Amy Poehler, and you're like, you're just so wildly talented at so many things. You remind me of my dearest friend in the world, Jennifer Goodwin's sister, Melissa Goodwin, who's an animator, who animated the end of the Female Brain credits. She animated this, I'll send it to you, this, she worked on Robot Chicken and
oh, dope.
The Simpsons. And,
yeah.
You're just so wildly House of Style, which was my favorite thing. I'm going to stop saying that. On MTV, which was like how to turn jeans into napkins, how to turn an old pair of jean shorts into, totes. You know.
Yeah.
Totes. Haven't heard that in a hot sec. Cool Beans. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Like, you just have so much. You would be like a lifestyle guru. Like, who's the current one?
The challenge is
the one.
The challenge for me in that is that would require me to be constantly remembering to document instead of being present. And I spend a lot of time just sort of being
present.
You're
not on your phone. Yeah, you're not a phone person.
I try to be on my phone as little as possible so that I can be present.
Me too.
So if I had like a professional like person to just follow me around and like do that, like that's the challenge for me is like I am not obsessed with my appearance. I'm obsessed with my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And if my appearance gets in the way of my experience, it's the appearance that has
to go. Can we make you uglier?
I mean, I don't know what I look like in drag.
Well, we dressed up as Depression era hobos for a
oh, yeah.
birthday party.
We did take a picture of that, though.
And then she got shamed for looking ugly, so she's being insensitive.
Joe Rogan told me about how, and we're wrapping up, Dave, I swear. World War II German facial dueling scars, menser scars in World War I portraits. So they used to scar.
On purpose?
Mm-hmm.
So that they would look dope?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I always have wanted one of those through the eyebrow ones.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, but I have a scar on my face. Like,
that's
I have like.
Fucking part of it. So hot.
It's like, how did she get that?
Yeah.
Mm, she's got such a punchable face. Look.
Dueling scars are. Can you pronounce that in German? Schmiss in German.
Schmisse
in German, and were seen as a badge of honor. Since as early as 1925, alternatively referred to menser scars, fencing scars.
Cool.
They were popular among upper-class Austrians and Germans to some lesser extent, involved in epidemics.
I just love how they're like, I'm not going to actually duel. I'm just going to get the cool duel scar.
Yeah.
And it's going to be nice
and sexy. It's like he can protect my offspring. Like, just like the reminder that we are animals. Let's just keep that in mind when we are mad at people and hate people and want to destroy and humiliate and embarrass and get ashamed. And
oh, I do. I remember that all the time. That's why I don't get mad at people.
We're all animals.
A lot of people have been hurt, and a lot of people want to make sense of things that don't make sense, and they put it on other people.
Labyrinths. Labyrinths. Labyrinths.
It's a good podcast. I like this one. Quit!
Don't ride elephants. I love you guys. We'll do it again. We have to.